This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
The Lamb of God, worthy is His name. Amen. Thank you, my brother, for this song. Thank you for, reminding us that so many times we forgot that Jesus is that Lamb of God. So many times we profess knowing Jesus and we are not sure how to live in such a way to show Jesus that he is worthy as the Lamb. Thank you for reminding us today. Thank you, Sister Angela, Sister Dion, and all the staff of the prayer ministry for giving me that opportunity to talk tonight. The seventh day of our week of prayer. Yes. And I thank all the staff, all those that work tirelessly. And I can tell you, those of you who are connecting night after night, there are people that have been working tirelessly. They have been working for weeks to bring us this prayer revival week. And we thank them. We thank the Lord for His blessing. Because the Lord knows our need. And the Lord sent that revival week because He sees that this specific week, there are specific needs that need to be met. And the Lord is using that opportunity and using His people, His children, at different capacity to serve Him, to serve His people. We thank the Lord for that. And personally, I praise the Lord for the opportunity tonight. And I ask the Lord, I pray the Lord to use me, to hide me behind Him, to take away anything that I think that I know, that I prepared, and to give His message to His people tonight. To me first, and to all of you. So thank you, you also. We connect night after night. Because if no one was interested to connect night after night, well, we would not have this week of revival. And again, I'm sure that the Lord is using His Holy Spirit to speak into our heart, so wherever we are, regardless of how we are connected, but to come night after night to be blessed. Because I don't know about you, but I've been blessed. Since Friday night to last night, I don't know how blessed you've been. I don't know about you. If some of you have already made the decision to rededicate their life to Christ, or even if some of you have decided to take the first step in that long journey with Christ, no matter where you are in that journey, even if you are starting with your first step, or you are in your 10,000 or 1 million step, at the end of the day, there is one thing that remains. This is the same Christ. Yes. Yes. He loves us all the same. Yes. And He is deciding to make the path that He wants us to walk in. So first step or 1 million step, just follow the path that God is putting on your way. Brothers and sisters, this week we've been talking about Jesus. And tonight we will continue to talk about him. And tonight we'll continue to talk about him through an offer. Right, Pastor? Pastor told me, I'll share with you that, well, Fred, why you choose that concept offer is because of your business mind. Well, Pastor, tonight we're talking about the sacrifice. For me, as I see it, the sacrifice is an offer. Yes. Because I have the choice to accept it or not. Yes. It's an offer. It's an offer. And I was attracted by that verse. You know? So I hope that the verse in every Hebrew chapter 10, verse 11 to 14, and every priest stand ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. We'll come back on that verse later on. So I hope that you are ready to enter in that journey with me tonight as we continue to talk about Jesus. And hopefully, by the end, you'll accept that offer. I've accepted that offer while getting ready for the sermon tonight. I hope that we'll accept it. You will not accept it because I'm the right seller, because I'm a good advertiser, or I know how to present the product well, I know how to sell it well. No. Don't look at me. Open your life, open your eyes, open your ears to the work of the Holy Spirit. Who can convince? Not me. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that you hide me behind you and that you talk to your people tonight. I thank you because you've been talking to us night after night. So tonight again, you talk to us. And may your Holy Spirit finally convince us to open our of our heart, of our life, to you, Jesus. Because tonight, it's all about you, the Lamb who was slain. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this week, we are blessed to walk through important stages of God's plan of redemption. His plan of redemption for humanity. We went from Eden Friday night, and we are going back to Eden tomorrow night, Friday. Right, Pastor? Yes. We went from Eden, we are going back to Eden. Yes. We started at the garden. And I hope that all of you met that gardener. We went through that milestone, the flood Saturday morning with Sister Dion, and then the plagues with Sister Barbara, and then that very important image in God's relationship with human being, the tabernacle, yes, with Principal Stevenson, yes, and then the prophecy, yes, with Brother Nick, yes, and last night, yes, the fulfillment and ministry. Brothers and sisters, through it all, there is something that remains. There is something that remains. And last night, Pastor Jen developed it for us. From Eden to Eden, there is one constant. Jesus never, never abandoned his people. He's always with us. He never abandoned us. He knows our need, even though sometimes we decide to go on our own way. We decide to take our own path because we think we know better. Because we think that we've discovered some new truth. Or we are trying to adapt to our new reality because we are living in a new world. We are living new times. We are living a new everything. So we are trying to make Jesus new everything. But let me tell you tonight, it's not about making Jesus you everything. It's about letting Jesus turn you into what he wants you to be. Yeah? Because what happened at the end of the day? At the end of the day, sin separated man from God. And God knew that would happen. And God made provision to restore that relationship. Sin brought death. But God made provision to say, all right, you don't have to die. I can find a better way to do it. I have someone who can do it, who is willing to do it. And this is why this week, we are turning around 3 hours. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus, because we are rescued from the bondage of sin. And we are delivered from the penalties of God's law that we violated. And Jesus redeemed us. Look what Galatians 3:13 says. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. This week it's also about reconciliation. Reconciliation to the Father. Because we decided to turn our back to our Father. Because we decided to sin and we need reconciliation. And that same Jesus, while our choice of life has alienated us, taking us away from our Father, our same Jesus is bringing reconciliation, as it said clearly in Colossians 1:21. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. To present you holy, because by his sacrifice, he's taking you from all the wicked works you are doing, and now he's presenting you holy, blameless, and without above reproach. In other words, our third R is restoring you to your original image. We will be restored, yes. We will be transformed from sin to a new incorruptible self. Brothers and sisters, but this will not happen by chance. This will not happen by chance. It will not be, oh, I sleep and I wake up tomorrow morning and it happened. We got to make a choice. We got to make a choice. And tonight I have an offer on the table for you. I got an offer on the table for you. You got to make that choice. Because again, let's go back to our verse, original verse. And every priest, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 to 14. And every priest stand ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. They are doing it again and again and again and again. But that the sacrifice can never take away sin. Verse 12, but this man. We can stop here and pray and go. This man, other version of the Bible is referring to Christ specifically. Yes. It's not just a priest. It's not just animals. No, it's the original one, the real deal. This man. After he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, just one, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. This man, what a man. Don't you want to meet that man? Don't you want to have that special relationship with that man? Because, man, when let's compare. All those priests, they were doing sacrifices again and again and again, and still, those sacrifices didn't bring the result, the end result expected. But this man, he didn't have to offer a couple of sacrifices. You would say he could do one. Oh, this was a try. Let's go for a second one. Oh, there are some. It will not work for a second one. It's like first dose, second dose, and there is a booster that is coming. No. It's just one dose.
Yes, one dose.
One dose. And it takes care of it.
Yes, Lord.
And I don't want to go into controversy tonight. Because that one does. There's no side effect. But unfortunately, there are still conspiracy theories. Unfortunately. Yes, this man did all. By taking one decisive, one radical action, the sacrifice at Calvary. Yes. Well, but before going to Calvary, a walk through the Bible shows that sacrifices are most of the time linked to relationship with God, and specifically relationship with God's coming. Sacrifices, sometimes it's about acceptance, it's about choice. It's about obedience. It's about surrender to the will of God, what God is expected. This is what happened in the offering of Cain and Abel. Abel offered animal sacrifice, and God was pleased with his offering. The New King James Version said that God respected this offering. While God did not accept the food and vegetable offering of Cain, because it was all about obedience, doing what God expected and asked us to do. It was supposed to be sacrifice of animals. Not what you want to bring to the Lord, Abel, unfortunately. What about Noah? Noah got off the ark, and the first thing that Noah did was to offer an animal sacrifice. In Genesis 8, verse 21, that sacrifice pleases the Lord. Genesis 8, 21 said, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. What about Job? He would offer also sacrifices for his children in case they sinned and cursed God in their heart. And God was also pleased. This is why God referred to Job in Job 1, as being blameless, upright, God-fearing, and someone who shunned evil. But this was not always the case. No. There is a case in the Bible where the prophet Malachi went after his people for the quality of those sacrifices. In Malachi 1, he was not happy. They were doing their own stuff, unfortunately. In Malachi 1, he said to them, well, what are you doing? What are you doing? You are using animals that are sick. You are using animals that was not supposed to be part of the sacrifice. You know? In what way have we, where it says, you offer defiled food on my altar. You know? And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the sick and the lame, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Oh, if you cannot do it to your governor, or do you think that you dare bring this to the Lord? Well, the Lord has said, this is the type of animal that I want. Well, we could go on and on in the Bible, different cases of sacrifices. We just select a few, because we have to finish tonight, right? Right? Yeah. So, the point is, in all those cases, we are referring to the animal sacrificial system, and a system that was instituted fundamentally because of sin. Because sin brings death. The day you touch this food, something will happen to you. You'll die. And the wage of sin is death. However, and again, thank you to that man. Thank you to that man. There can be a substitute to die. Well, at the beginning, it was the priest who put his hand on the head of the animal and confesses the sin of the people, operating by a symbolic transfer of sin. This is why the animal had to be sacrificed. The animal has to die. It was to be done. Remember our verse? Every priest and ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice. So the priest has to do it again and again and again. And in some cases, it was done every year. But you know what happened? Hebrews chapter 10, 1 to 3 says, For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. Yes, in the animal sacrificial system, animal would die, but they were the substitute back then. But Hebrews 10 is telling us, well, they were not the right substitute that we need. They did not have the right qualification to be a substitute. They were not the real substitute. There is a problem. You know? Well, they were doing a job. But they were not qualified. Why? Why they were not qualified? Continue verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. It would be too easy. It would be too easy to solve that difficult, complex problems with just the blood of goats and bulls. Verse 10, and every priest stand ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. Now there is a problem. God did institute the system. God instructed his people how to do it. And still, I find in my same Bible that, well, what was being done, well, it was something, but it was not the real thing. The question I'm asking myself is, those animals could not really solve the sin problem. What was the purpose? Could it be said that it was a waste of time? A waste of resources? A waste of energy? And even, I would say, unnecessary barbarity on animal. Why? Well, in his plan, God wanted to point the people, his people, to understand a bigger picture. This is why he was pointing them well past what the animal really represented, what we call the type. This is another message. Later in this picture, that will be Jesus and the act of sacrifice itself, which is the shadow. Later in the big picture, which is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and that takes us right to the man. The man. This is our man tonight. All that system point to what was coming and what would be known as the sacrifice of the real lamb, who we once and for all forgive sins. Yes, this man, he had offered one sacrifice. One sacrifice. It will once sacrifice. Jesus. And remember, whenever we are talking about of the lamb, John saw Jesus and I identified. He didn't say, "Hey, fellow, what is your name?" He didn't say, "Oh, this is the man they are called Jesus. They call him Jesus. Or this is the son of Joseph." John 1, 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, who is coming? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Not that it was at the beginning. There was no mention of sacrifice. There was no mention of cross. There was no such mention. But God talked to John. The Holy Spirit opened John's understanding. And this is the man that is coming for that one sacrifice. So let us look closer at that sacrifice, brothers and sisters. Because the sacrifice brings us to the cross. And you will agree with me that the cross is the fundamental point, is at the core of the entire Christian theology. Yeah. There is no Christianity without the cross, without the sacrifice. And that brings us closer to the sacrifice tonight. And let's look at the sacrifice on a few different angles. The meaning of the sacrifice, because on the cross, Jesus, as John said, the lamb. Jesus was the lamb who was going to die for one reason: to redeem us by his blood. This is what John said. He saw Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God." But 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19 go further saying, "Knowing that you were not with him with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers." Yeah. If you are with him by those corruptible things, you know, Sister Dion, the billionaire that are getting ready to go live somewhere up there, they would be assured of redemption. Right? And those of us who really want redemption, we will be killing each other to make more money, to get enough money to get there. Well, but, no, but, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. This lamb is without blemish and without spot. Remember earlier when I talked about what happened in Malachi? They were cheating on God. They were cutting corners. You know, this lamb would come. He's not, he's blind. And they say, well, he's legally blind, but he can still see. Or like me, if you take away my glasses now, well, I cannot do that much anymore. I will be reading like that. This is not spotless. This is not without blemish. That lamb was blemish, without blemish, and without spot. So, the sacrifice, Calvary, means something because of who was sacrificing himself, because of why he was sacrificing himself. But more than that meaning, that sacrificial meaning, the Calvary can be seen also on a legal perspective, because on the cross, Jesus received our condemnation in our place. Well, in a human legal system, that could not have happened. Because normally the perpetrator bears the responsibility of his or her action and pay for the price. Cannot go to the judge and say, oh, this man killed, but I want to. No, if you want to be there, kill too, or steal. But you cannot take the spot of someone who did wrong. No, you know, you cannot. Guess what? Jesus did that. However, in his goodness and mercy, Jesus offers himself as a substitute, and we should consider it not in a moral or rational or humanly judicial term, but in terms of what it means for us, for each of us. Each one of us, what that sacrifice mean for me because of what? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then again, verse 23, this time is Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So it's what is important, it's what it mean for me, it's what it mean for you. Romans 8:1-4 continues, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. I am free for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, who take the consequences of sin for me. But there is a relational side of it too. There is a relational side of it, because at the cross, Jesus received the wrath of God so that we could be reconciled. We turn again to reconciliation so that we can be reconciled with God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that beautiful, people? Isn't that great? Who can do that for us? So you understand that? You understand that when you have someone that can do all of that for you, when that someone put an offer on the table, you have to think twice, or more than twice, before you decide. More than twice. And there's more than that, because on the cross, Jesus conquered his enemy, spiritual powers, sin, evil, death, and he gave us the opportunity to participate in his victory. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. This is, brothers and sisters, this is, folk, the Jesus, the Lamb of God, that is offering us, that is putting that offer on the table tonight. Brothers and sisters, these are all ways to see, understand the sacrifice. It is not, however, enough to know all those ways to see the sacrifice on those different aspects, to see the different aspects of the sacrifice. No. It is not enough to know them if you are not acting on that knowledge. So I will point to you something you should not forget. Because sometimes there is one thing that you need to remember. Whenever there is an offer, normally that offer has an expiring date. The offer is not on the table forever. The offer is not on the table forever. And I was here last Saturday when Sister Dion was reminding us, what time is it? Yes, it is time to spend. It is the time to spend time in the Word. But it is even more important to commit ourselves to that Word, to commit ourselves to the one that is in the center of the Word, Jesus. Yes. The Lamb who accept the sacrifice, to sacrifice himself. It is time to us to really accept that sacrifice and the entire package. Because the acceptation comes with its own package. You don't decide to choose. You choose the package. You choose Jesus. If you are serious about it. Because there is no more time left in the prophetic time clock. And we got to take it seriously. Right, Sister Dion? And it is time for us to make that decision, to be serious about it. But not just that. I want to point to something else. I was listening to Brother Nick, Elder Nick, Tuesday night. And I'm thinking about, yeah, it's good to make that decision, to take that offer, to make that righteous. But once you make that righteous, there is something that will change in you, that will put in you the urge, I cannot keep it for myself. I cannot keep it for myself. I need to share it. That choice bring that, create that urge in you. I have to go out, be like Jesus. Making disciples. I have to go out to love others as Jesus, to serve them as Jesus, to help them as Jesus did, to support them as Jesus did, to share with them as Jesus did, to help them and to attend to their needs. Because this is what Jesus used to do. So if I don't feel any urge to do that, I need to ask myself, where do I stand? And guess what? It's not about judging you. It's just about telling yourself, well, Jesus, there is something that is not working. Probably I didn't get the entire package. I need to a full package. Jesus, please update my version. Give me the latest version, Jesus, to be out there, to be you.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Because that is what is expected from those which lives were transformed by accepting the sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, the sacrifice is an offer for everyone. Men, women, children, young, adult, black, white, brown, all race and ethnicity, rich, poor, highly educated, uneducated, powerful, regular, average, you name it. It's for everyone. And if you are watching tonight, you think that it was not for you. Well, I got news for you. It is for you. And you have the opportunity tonight to accept it. But there is one thing that is even more important. You need to remember that this offer, Jesus is not forcing it on you, but this offer is based on love. Well, we all know and love that verse, John 3:16. God so loved that he gave the only one. If you believe in it, you have everlasting life. So it's up to us to accept this offer and the entire package. Because any offer that he promises to deliver something, well, we receive so many offers that promises us that will make you feel good, that will satisfy your need, that will solve a problem, that will help you deal with an issue. Oh, you need that service. And we could go on and on and on and on. Sometimes they force you into thinking that you are getting something while they are delivering something else, or they are delivering nothing at all and they are taking advantage of you. But guess what, people? The sacrifice is an offer that not trick you. There's no deception in the sacrifice. It does not try to get you to feel good. No, Jesus isn't trying to help you feel good. If this is what you're expecting from Jesus, you need to recalibrate your understanding of Jesus. It's not about feeling good. No. Again, it is an offer that is based on love, the love of a father who loves his children so much that he decides he will take his first one. He will send his first one to die and to save the multitude of other children that he has. And this is the love of a brother who loves so much. Who decides to come down and to sacrifice himself to save his multitude's brothers and sisters. This is based on love. So when we think about this love, we know that something, let me tell you that. Yeah, if you didn't know that Jesus was your brother, you know tonight that he's your brother and he made that sacrifice for you. But more than that, I want to tell you, this Jesus, this offer that is on the table, the sacrifice after accepting to die after the cross, Jesus is back up there and there is something great. Hallelujah, there is something great that is happening now. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6 to 10. Put it that way. Apostle Paul in part saw it in a vision and explained it as follows. Revelation chapter 5, 6 to 10. Look, there are the same word that you are going to see again. That we found those same words in other verses that we read earlier. It said, And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. The lamb, that says something to you, the lamb. The man that has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now then he had taken the scroll. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Yes. And they sang a new song saying, yes. Well, brother, I can't sing like you. But I know one day I will be singing. Yes. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, the sacrifice, right? Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Well, that passage is a long sermon by itself. So, Pastor Jen, Pastor Kevin, you know. Hallelujah. But the idea is Jesus, something special, something great, something magnificent is happening now. This is no joke, people. It is happening now. The lamb who came, who was slain, is up there now, and he has the scroll, and guess what? He is receiving praise, and we are singing, and they are singing. They are singing. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal. For you are slain, because you've qualified yourself to do that because of the sacrifice you submitted yourself to. It was not easy. It was a lot of suffering. I'm sure he put a lot of thinking to it. But because of me, because of you, because of you, because of you, because of you, he decided, yes, it's worth taking on that challenge. And tonight he is putting that offer on the table for you to accept that sacrifice. What do you have to give in return? Because when you receive some offer, they have something to, you know, to go back. Let me tell you, you got to accept. First, you got to come as you are. Second, you got to come as you are. Second, you don't need to decide, I have to. Oh, I am coming. I have to dress, you know, because I'm going to meet that important person. Oh, I haven't made my face, ladies. Right? No. You come to Jesus. You accept the offer. You come to Jesus as you are, regardless of how you are. I don't care how you are, where you are. You come as you are. But when you come as you are, the last thing is you surrender to Jesus who was slain. You don't come as you are and you decide you know what is best for you. You know yourself. You can decide what is best, or to change yourself, you know what you want. No, you accept the offer. You accept the offer. You come as you are, and you surrender to the Lamb and allow the Lamb, Jesus himself, by coming into your life to transform you, by coming into your life to design your path in life, knowing that He will always be with you, knowing that He will be your sustainer, knowing that He will be your provider, knowing that He will be your savior. Yes. Come as you are and allow Jesus to transform you. And you will be surprised. You will be surprised. You will be surprised to witness the radical transformation that will happen in your life. You will be surprised to discover the new you that you have become. Your life will become, as that children Bible song says, the things I used to do, I do not them anymore. The place I used to go, I don't go there anymore. The things I used to wear, I don't wear them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. The thing I used to watch, I don't watch them anymore. The things I used to think, I don't think them anymore. The things I used to expose myself to, I don't do them anymore. Because there is something that has changed. There is a great transformation in my life since I accepted the offer and I've been born again. Amen. That new you is possible, brothers and sisters. That renewal is possible, brothers and sisters. That transformation is possible, brothers and sisters. That revival is possible, brothers and sisters. Only and only if me, you, and any willing heart accept the sacrifice. Only. And we can accept the sacrifice. It can happen. If you have already met Jesus, you can accept the sacrifice one more. You can accept the sacrifice one more and decide to open again that life to Jesus. Because probably in some point of time, you decided to take control of some part of it and to do things the way you think that they will be best for you so you can serve God better, right? No, you don't need to take control to decide how to serve God better or to be a better Christian. No, allow Jesus to have full control. So if you have already accepted Jesus, if you already accepted the sacrifice, you can decide tonight to rededicate your life to Him. But it can happen also that you are meeting Jesus just this week. That you are having that encounter just this week. And that you feel the calling inside of you, the calling of the Holy Spirit to say, yes, I want this offer. Do not hesitate. Do not postpone to tomorrow what you can be tonight, what you can do tonight. Do not resist to the call of that loving Lamb who wants to give you a new life. Do not resist. Do not resist. Do not fight that voice that is telling you it's time. Because there's not a lot of time left. But open your life because the offer is still there. But the offer will expire soon. The offer is still there, is for you and for me. Me, I've made my decision to accept the offer. And I thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. I thank you, Jesus, I accept your sacrifice. So, Jesus, I plead and I pray that you please come into my life to redeem me, to reconcile me to the Father and to restore me. Now it is your turn to accept that sacrifice. It is your turn to make that choice. Will you accept it? Thank you so much.
All the blood, crimson blood. Shameful sin placed on him the whole of
is our victory. Yes, made the sacrifice, and that sacrifice saved our life and is inviting us to live a life of victory. Not victory as men defined it, not victory as probably we understand it, but once we accept that sacrifice, it will take us to that path of victory, and we will enjoy that journey with God. So brothers and sisters, you who are watching us tonight, this is the time to make your decision. The offer is expiring soon. This is the time to accept that sacrifice, to accept that blood, to accept Calvary, and to accept the victory that comes with it. I invite you to type now, to text now, 954-388-8780, to type, to text LTAH. And someone will reach out to you. If you want to give your life to Christ tonight, if you want to seal that relationship tonight, this is the time to do it. Close your eyes. Make that prayer and ask Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want to make that decision tonight. Shut down all the small voices in my ears that are telling me to wait. Shut down all those images that are coming to my eyes that are reminding me of past, of distraction. Help me make that decision tonight and text 954-388-8780. If you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, do the same. If you want us to call you, to pray with you, if you want to call us to call you, to have Bible study with you, this is the time to do it. Don't wait for tomorrow. Do it now. Do it now. You can turn your eyes from the TV, point your eyes to your phone, and text LTAH 954-388-8780 and pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for that act of love. Thank you for that difficult, complex decision. But decision that was so needed, because this was the only way that me and all of those that are in that prayer night can have some hope, hope of a future, hope of eternity, hope of victory, because tonight we've listened to your voice, we've listened to your offer, we've considered it, and we understand that this is the best for us. So Lord Jesus, tonight I pray that you pour out powerful unction of your Holy Spirit. That your Holy Spirit can convince us to take that step to accept the sacrifice, to come to you as we are, and to allow you to change our life. Bless each one of us, Jesus. If we are still resisting, if we are still thinking, Lord Jesus, now I ask that you break all those chains that are keeping us prisoners, slaves of this world and all the things of this world, of all the attraction and distraction. Break that chains and put us on that journey of deep victory because we have accepted the sacrifice. And we thank you again, Jesus. And we pray you in your name. And we thank you for your love. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for watching our program. We hope that you were blessed. If you want to say yes to a relationship with Jesus, or just want someone to pray with you, text LTAH to 954-388-8780. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for the next episode of Let's Talk About Him, Spring Revival.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.